I want to start out by saying thank you guys so much for praying for me. Last week, as you guys know, my mom and is having a very difficult time, and I lost her husband in January 22nd. And, you know, she's had her own health issues as well. And because of that, you know, she hasn't been home since mid-December. She's been in a hospital or the nursing home. Now she is in assisted living. And she's trying to get used to a very brand new norm. And it has been difficult. And so thank you so much for your prayers. I really, really appreciate that. I'm excited to be back here this morning. Heard Pastor Johnny did a fantastic job last week. And yep, thank you. Wow, one person thought he did. So you may want to work on that. We'll practice on your sermon next time. But anyway, we are 5 weeks into this series called Made for Mission. And we have talked about an assorted things all throughout it. And the week after next, we're going to finish up with Made for Mission. And it's going to be called Bring Somebody. Everybody say, bring somebody. Bring somebody. Look at your neighbor specifically and say, you bring somebody. It's okay. You can look people in the eye. You bring somebody. All right? And so, April 7th is going to be the last of the series called Made for Mission. And that Sunday is a very interesting, amazing service as well, because we're going to be laying out and starting our vision expansion campaign. And I've been on the phone this week, emailing back and forth with the architect and with the artist. He's doing a rendering right now of what our brand new building will look like on the outside. He's going to give us a look at what the lobby's going to look like, the sanctuary's going to look like, the youth room's going to look like. And there's going to be, our logos are going to be up on the screen. Welcome Center is going to be out in the lobby area. And it's going to look just like you're there. And I'm so excited about it. I want to make sure that you're taking your vitamins, that you're clearing your schedule, that you're here on the 7th, all right? Everybody say April 7th. April 7th, and that's going to finish up our mission series as well. So it'll be an awesome time for a guest that you bring to see a church that is thriving, growing, and loving Jesus. Amen? And has a plan for the future. You know, one of the things that I see statistically as I look at church growth, as I look at planting churches, I see churches that fail. I see churches that are plateauing. I see churches that are on the decline. And there are only about 33% of all churches in America that are growing. Most of them are plateauing and declining. But I thank God at New Freedom that we are in the growing spurt of our journey as a church family. Amen? And so April 7th will bear witness to that growth and will seed into the future of what New Freedom is going to be able to do to reach and to expand its capacity to reach the hurting here in this area. All right? So I am very excited about it. We're going to be, after the service, we're going to lay it all out on the screens. You're going to have literature so that we'll go through all the questions that you guys have, and all the answers are the same. We did that so that there wouldn't be any variations of answers to the questions, right? Because that can be confusing. And so we're all going to go through the questions and the answers together. And if you have any questions at that time, we'll answer those for you as well. So be praying for that service. I'm very excited about it. Hopefully that rendering will be done this week so that I can make any revisions that need to be made. And then that following Sunday, we're going to hit the ground running with it. All right? I am excited about it. So today, we're going to be talking about Made for Mission, why I am on the mission. All right? The why is very important. Okay? Your why is very important. So let's get into that. Turn with me to John chapter 13, 1 through 17. John chapter 13, 1 through 17. All right, so let's pray. Father, I come before you this morning and I thank you so very much for the opportunity to get to preach your word. I thank you, Father, that you have given me this word, and Father, today I gladly deliver it. And I ask, Lord, that you would anoint me to preach your word by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray again through the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit that each person would have their eyes and their spirit open up to the Word of God today. Lord, let it burst forth like the 4th of July in their spirit as the Word of God is being taught. In Jesus' name, help me say it, church, this morning. Amen. Amen. So, this is a very dramatic scene, all right? Jesus has been doing his ministry for about three and a half years, and it's culminating. How many of you guys have ever seen the picture of the Last Supper, right? Everybody got their Sunday best on. Jesus is up in the middle of everybody. He's got his hands out. Everybody's leaning in toward him, listening to what he has to say. But that picture doesn't really accurately depict what was going on during this time. How would you feel, all right? Let's just imagine this for a second. How would you feel if you were invited to a supper and you knew that somebody there that you had spent 3 years with pouring into was about to betray you in the most intimate way possible? How would you feel? Would you even accept that invitation? Because I don't know that I could hold myself together. Knowing what I know, Jesus knows that Judas is about to do something devastating, that is about to wreck his entire life and set things into motion for all eternity. And yet Jesus is going into this dinner on mission. That's a crazy thing. And here it is right here laid out in John chapter 13. Let's look at it. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Not only did he know that one of his own was going to betray him, but he was feeling the weight of what he was about to do. Jesus knew that his hour was about to be upon him. Okay? This wasn't something that just snuck up on him. He knew that it was about to happen. And so he's feeling that weight. And so we go on to read, it says, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew, and this is something amazing right here to me. It blows my mind. This is why it's so hard for me to read Scripture by myself, a long, lengthy portion of Scripture, because I'm sitting here verse by verse going, I can't believe what's about to happen here, right? And so I'm trying to figure all this out, and this is what it says. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a bowl and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. So let me pause for a minute. For the last 4 weeks or so, we have been diving in again to this whole series called Made for Mission. It's important as believers that we understand what we're made for, what we're made of, and who made us. And when we know those three things, there is nothing that God can't do through you, because you know who you are, you know what you're here for, and you know who has created you, because you have been created with a purpose. None of you are made from spare parts. None of you are made from from what was left over from somebody else's mold or a good idea that he had and he stuck on the shelf for a while and was like, oh yeah, let's stick this in here. You are uniquely made, intricately woven together. Every part of you, every sinew, every emotion, every talent, every tendency that you have has come from the Father. We have learned that we are all called, that this isn't, that the mission isn't some professional job given by professional clergy to do the mission. All of us are called to be on mission, to be on point, to be directed to the lost and the hurting. We are all called. We've been taught about what our mission is, that we are to shed the light of Christ to everybody that will listen, to whosoever will. That whosoever includes us. That whosoever includes that person that you absolutely cannot stand. Matter of fact, you're at the borderline of hatred. That whosoever extends toward them. That person that hurts you the deepest. That whosoever extends to them. Our mission is whosoever. And lastly, we spoke about who is my mission. And we're going to answer that, and we're going to answer the question why we are on mission. The why is so very important. It's the most important factor of any mission because it determines how we act in the mission. It determines everything, the why. I don't know about you, but for me, it's easy to turn off the mission and turn it back on when I feel like doing it. Now, I know none of you guys are like that. I'm just being transparent this morning, all right? It's so easy for me to turn it off when I'm distracted, when I'm busy, when I'm sick, when things are going back home in Tennessee and going haywire, or when things are happening with my kids or in my marriage or at church. It's easy to just shut it off and go, you know what, I don't have time for it. It doesn't fit into my schedule. Emotionally, I'm not ready. There's all kinds of different scenarios why you go over to that switch and turn it off. And it's easy to turn it back on when we've got time, right? When things slow down, when we got a long weekend, or maybe we're doing well, the kids are happy, I'm happy, bills are paid, everybody's well, nothing's going bad, and so we turn it back on when it's convenient. But in the story I just read, the account that I just read, teaches us that Jesus, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what we're walking into, we can always be on mission. Jesus knew that he was about to die for all the sins of the world. He was feeling that weight. You guys ever just felt the weight of the world? You felt the weight of your job? You felt the weight of what's going on in your marriage, with your kids' lives? Maybe financially, you were feeling the struggle and the pinch that bills have and life has. Maybe you were feeling the struggle of sickness and not feeling like you even want to be alive. You feel so badly. Stuff's going on with things in your family, whatever it is, feeling the weight of it all. Being distracted by everything, by busyness, by the summer that's about to happen. And we feel that, and Jesus is walking into this very thing. He's feeling the weight of what he is about to do, and he's feeling the emotional residue of having to eat with somebody he knows is about to sell him out. But listen to what the word says. This blows my mind. It says the evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Now here's the kicker. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he came from God and was returning to God. He knew why he was on mission. Jesus knew the why. It factored into every scenario, into every meal, into every occasion when he was meeting the lost. It factored into his decision making. He knew why he was on mission. It was stronger. Listen, this morning, it was stronger than any other reason or excuse that could have gotten him off track, because he knew his why. So the question is, how in the world does he do that? This may have been the most selfless act he has ever done up until this point. How does he stay focused and passionate about the mission even when you don't feel like it, or when you're stressed or have some serious anger issues toward the person that you're having dinner with? How do you do that? How do you stay on track like that? Well, he's the Son of God. He can pretty much do anything, Jimmy. But the Bible says, and we have to remember this, Jesus was tempted in every way that we are tempted. And yet he was without sin. Jesus didn't live a life of ease. How would you like to live under the pressure of somebody wanting to kill you every time you stepped into the city? Every time you walk downtown Green Bay, feeling the weight of somebody wanting to trip you up and stone you to death. Jesus was, he knew the weightiness of living in the times that he lived in. And you and I live in the same times, and maybe we're not, you know, under the pressure of being stoned to death every day. But he had come to the realization that the Father had put everything under his power. Can I just say this? I'd be a terrible Savior. Amen. Knowing what I know, that God had given me all power in heaven and on earth, I knew that, and I knew that my time was coming. I was going to go back to the Father. And I knew that all power was going to be given to me. Man, I'd take that power for a ride. I'd take it for a ride. I mean, I would out Judas as a traitor and as a liar that he was. I would pummel him into the ground. I'd run him out of the building with bears chasing him. I mean, I've got all power. If I ask the Father in heaven to do what I ask him to do, he's going to do it. So, why not? I would throw Herod up out of his palace, and Herod's palace would be mine, and I would have Herod be my footstool. I would take this power for a ride. I certainly would not be thinking about washing 12 sets of stinky feet. Imagine this. I mean, Jesus, the Bible says that knowing he had all power in heaven and in earth, the very next sentence, the Bible says Jesus gets up, he takes off his outer clothing. He takes a towel and wraps it around his waist. He just gets up. He didn't announce it. He didn't say, "All right, everybody, we're going to have a foot washing service." How many of you guys ever been to a foot washing service? Come on, raise your hand. Really? Wow, that's way more than I thought. So those that don't know, like to you know, encourage humility and servanthood, you have these foot washing services. Now, I've been to them, but man, I've never took my shoes off. Like, I sit in the back and I watch and go, this is crazy. And they're washing people's feet. As a matter of fact, one time I was speaking at a church in Virginia, and we were doing outreach all that weekend. They had called, pastor had flew me up to preach on evangelism. And so that weekend, he had a whole weekend of evangelism, and we were washing cars, kind of like things we do here. And there was this guy that I was washing cars with that attended the church, and he was telling me about the missions trip that he was going. Well, it was more of, he was going for a short-term missions trip, and he was going there to teach pastors and to be an encouragement to pastors. 6 months he was going. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me while I was washing cars and says, I want you to wash his feet in front of everybody on Sunday morning, and I want you to tell him that you were there to serve the people. And I went, mm-mm, I ain't doing that. And instantly I heard the Lord say, then you'll preach by yourself up there. And I said, fine. You know, normally it'd be like, yes, Lord Jesus, I'm so happy to do that. But I said, fine. And so that Sunday morning I brought him up, and I didn't tell him what I was going to do. I had some water and a towel there. I said, brother, would you come up and take your shoes off? And by then, you know, we had a pretty awesome worship service. Everybody was jumping around and clapping, and everybody's sweat glands were opened up. And so he got up here, and I took off his feet, or his shoe, not his feet, but his shoes, took his socks off, and his feet were sweaty. And man, I was having a hard time. Like, I was physically... And I said, I'm having a very difficult time, but here's what I really feel like God is saying. So I had to take a breath. And I washed his feet, and I told him what the Holy Spirit had spoke to me about to him. And he wept, and it set the tone for the rest of the service. And I washed my hands as much as I possibly could. And be honest with you, at New Freedom Church, we ain't ever going to have a foot washing service, all right? And unless I hear the Holy Spirit, and then I'll let Johnny do that service, and I'll stay at the house. But here's Jesus. He has the knowledge that all power had been given to him. And so the first thing he does with that power is get up from the table, take off his outer clothing, which would be kind of like a tunic, and get a sash and wrap it around his waist, and he goes around and he starts to wash his disciples' feet. So his first thing that he does when he knows that all power has been given to him is get on his knees and do an act of service to his disciples. One that would be humiliating, one that would everybody else. And yet here Jesus is taking his power for a ride by washing feet. Let me ask you a question this morning. What if your identity was truly found in God? What if you knew without a shadow of a doubt that everything, your identity, all who you are were wrapped up in him? This was definitely true for Jesus. And the Father, Jesus knew who he was. Jesus knew who he was, that he had come from the Father. He knew what he was there for. He knew where he was going, and he knew where the power came from. How would that change your life? How would that change the way you live? How would that change the way you interacted with people? Not people that loved you and applauded your character, but how would it change the way you operated around people that you just really don't like? That chaps you every time you get around them. Man, they're just people. You just can't put a finger on it, but you just don't like them. I must be the only one. You can't put a finger on it, but you just don't like them. How would that knowledge change your life? When our identity is wrapped up in God, then we begin to understand that he is infinitely bigger than the circumstances that surround us. It changes everything. So Jesus' identity was secure, but that doesn't answer the question, of why that led him to wash feet. Why did he do that? Why did he wash feet? My identity is in Christ, but that has never inspired me to stop and wash Pastor Johnny's feet. Like, that's never crossed my mind, right? But let's look at verses 11, or 6 through 11 here. Let's continue with the story. Jesus is washing feet, all right? They're reluctantly going, I don't get it. This is weird. But okay. But here we come to Peter. So he, Jesus, came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize what I am doing, but later you will understand. But Peter says, no, Jesus, you shall never wash my feet. And this is again, Jesus, he either brings you to decision or you walk away. There is no gray area here. And Jesus said, unless I wash your feet, you have no part with me. That is hard. I mean, here we are, we're eating dinner, and then Jesus gets up to do this weird act that nobody else understands, and then everybody's like reluctantly allowing him to do it. And then Peter speaks up finally and speaks for everybody when he says, you're going to wash my feet? No way, you're not going to do that. I'm not going to allow you to wash my feet. This is weird, I don't understand it, and I don't want you to do it. And then Jesus says something that, to me, when you think about it, when you just read it for face value, you think, this is an overkill. Like, Jesus is acting out of emotion here. And Jesus replies, then Jesus answers, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. And I can just hear Peter going, really? Seriously? Like, 3 years and I don't allow you to wash my feet and this is what you say to me? That's what I would be thinking. But Peter's no dummy. Yes, he talks out of turn, but he's no dummy. Look what it says then. It says, then Peter says, then Lord, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said not everyone was clean. Look at this statement. If I don't do this, you have no part with me. One of the simplest descriptions of our relationship with Jesus goes like this, okay? Pour out. I talked about this in a small group the other night. Okay? Pour in and pour out. Can we say that together? Pour out, pour in, and pour out. One more time. Pour out, pour in, pour out. We begin by pouring out ourselves to God. Then after we pour out to God, he then pours back into us. Then from his overflow, then he pours back into us, and then we pour out to others. And this is beautifully illustrated in the garden, where after everything was done, the meal was over, the disciples are out in the garden, and Jesus is going to that spot to pray, and he feels the weightiness of everything coming on him. The Bible says that he began to sweat as drops of blood. He was anguishing. In other words, Jesus was pouring out to the Father. He was emptying himself out. He was saying, Father, if it be your will that this cup pass from me, then so be it. But nonetheless, not my will, but your will be done. Jesus is pouring out. Have you ever been in that place of anguish in your life where you have no other place but hit your knees and pour yourself out all over the floor to Jesus? Where you have nothing left, words can't describe what you're going through. It's only tears and sniffles and groans that words cannot express. Jesus is in that place right now in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's pouring himself out. And then you see the Father pouring in. Then you see the Bible says that angels came to minister and to attend and strengthen Jesus. Well, that's the Son of God. I mean, he gets special treatment, right? Preferential treatment because he is the Son of God. But you know that as believers, each and every one of you are assigned to angels to watch over you, to minister to you. And we see here that the Father, after Jesus poured himself out, that God sent an angel to pour himself back into him. And that we know the ultimate pouring out was Jesus following through with the mission, which was dying on the cross. And then 3 days later, coming up from the grave, accomplishing the mission. And you and I are in the same boat. And here's the thing. It's a beautiful thing. To the depth that you and I pour out to God is the depth that God pours into you. And to the depth that God has poured into you is the depth that you can in turn pour into other people. So many of us have nothing to give because we're too busy to pour ourselves out, or afraid to pour ourselves out for fear of what might come out. Things that we have locked away so long. That means that we have to confront sin. We have to confront our questions and our faith. We have to confront those areas that we have refused to allow God to touch for fear that it might require too much for healing. And then we wonder why we have no capacity to love others. And we have no capacity to love God in a depth that changes us through and through. But it all starts in one place, in that place of desperation, that place of pouring yourself out in order that God can pour himself in. And the depth in which you pour yourself out is the measure in which God will pour back into you, and that same measure you can take to pour into others. But it all starts in that one place, you pouring out. Romans 10:15 says this, "And how can any preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." Let me warn you, you might not get all of this right concerning giving the good news with your life, with your story, with your acts, with your deeds, with your time, with your talents, with your treasure, with all the things that encompass you. You may not always get it right. Peter and his clean feet fell asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane an hour later when he was supposed to be praying. And moreover, just a few moments later, he denied he even knew Jesus to a servant woman around the fire because he had fled. He had run for his life. The Bible says that lady goes, you were with Jesus, that guy that was just arrested. And Peter said, I don't know the guy. She goes, no, I've seen you around with him. I do not know that guy. Leave me alone. And she said, you're Peter. Like you're his one of his disciples. And he interrupts this lady and heaps curses upon himself, swearing at this lady, and says, I don't know the man. And then the rooster crows three times. And Peter's completely devastated. We're not always going to get this thing right. We're not always going to perfectly be on point with sharing our story, with pouring into other people, because life happens. But that's no excuse for denying your why and being off mission. People that, see, let's say SEAL Team 6 here. They are given a mission. And the why of that mission dictates what they do during that mission. It affects everything. And if one person on SEAL Team 6 in their head says, I don't like this, when I get there, instead of doing what I've been told to do, I'm going to do something else, he has compromised everything. He has compromised the mission. He's compromised his team and the lives of his team. And whether or not that mission is successful, his attitude toward that mission determines everything. And as believers, it is the same way. But we're not all the time dealing with life or death. A lot of times, we are dealing with eternity here. How my story, how my attitude, how my actions dictate somebody else's joy, somebody else's decision to follow Christ. As a minister, I have to be so very careful about what I say around everybody. And it's not that that stresses me out. I just know the power of words. I know the power of my actions. I had a pastor, one of my professors, he had been a pastor for like close to 40 years, and he was talking about one time when service was over, and he was in the back, and he was shaking hands, and people see pastors as somebody that is so close to God, and a young family came up to him, shook his hand, and then their son, whom the father was holding, stuck his hand out and said, hi, God. I thought that was pretty cool. But that's how people see pastors. May not be right, but that's how people see them. And I can tell you, I've got as many flaws as everybody else. But I understand the significance of my words. I understand the power of my obedience. And I understand the importance of being faithful. Not perfect, not flawless, but faithful to the mission. Not hitting that switch off at my convenience. So what does Jesus do a few days later for Peter? Jesus had just washed his feet. Jesus goes into the garden along with the rest of the disciples, and they couldn't keep their eyes open. Jesus said, watch and pray. Watch and pray. And Jesus would come back and they'd be asleep. He'd come back again, they'd be asleep again. Peter couldn't keep his eyes open. And then he ran off, denied that he even knew Jesus, and he ran in shame. But then Jesus died on the cross. He rose again on that third day. And this is what Jesus did. He went looking for Peter. Don't you love that? That it's your worst moment. He's coming and looking for you. Not to settle a score, not to shake his finger in your face, but he's there to restore you. This is a beautiful picture. When Jesus called Peter, Peter was a fisherman, and he yelled out, Peter, come and follow me, when he was fishing. And here, Peter is, he doesn't know what to do with his life. Jesus is dead. It's 3 days has been passed. He didn't know that Jesus had come back to life again. And Peter went back to the only thing that he knew to do because he was ashamed to confront what he had done. And so he was fishing. The Bible says Peter was offshore a ways. And he saw on the shore there was a fire going. Somebody was cooking some breakfast. And so it intrigued Peter. And so Peter began to steer his boat toward the shore a little bit closer. And as he got closer, he saw that there was a guy standing beside the fire. And as he got closer, that image came into focus and he saw somebody familiar. And it was Jesus. And Jesus is doing this. Peter, I've got breakfast and I want to talk to you. Jesus is cooking fish. I don't know, how many of you guys have ever seen Forrest Gump? You remember when Forrest Gump was on the boat and Lieutenant Dan was in his wheelchair right there on the dock and he did this right here and went, boom. That's what Peter did. He's like, oh my goodness, off the boat he goes. I can just see his boat going this way and Peter swimming this way. He couldn't wait to get to Jesus. And Jesus restored Peter right then and there. He didn't shame him. He restored him and he put him back on mission. And what happened was, Peter poured out to Jesus. Jesus poured in to Peter. And Peter, on the day of Pentecost, stepped in front of 3,000 people and spoke the good news, and all of them came to Christ, and the birth of the church happened on that day. That's powerful stuff. No matter what kind of failure you feel like you are or what you've done for God to turn his back on you, he is there waiting to restore you and put you back on track. He is there to uplift you, to encourage you, and cause you to be more than a conqueror. Amen? The foundation of Peter's mission flowed from his identity in Christ. And the same must be true for you and for me as well. The foundation of our mission should flow out of the knowledge of our identity in Christ. Amen? Our identity is connected to the mission. The mission isn't an event that you are obligated to go to or an outreach that you sign up for. The mission is who you are. You can't have one without the other. They are forever linked. We see that because Jesus said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. And if you've seen the Father, you have seen me, because we were one. We're one. You can't have one without the other. And your identity is caught up in the personhood of Jesus Christ himself. Amen? The mission isn't about some event. It's about who we are. And if you're off track this morning, if you're not sure what your identity is, today is your day. Welcome. You have come to the right Sunday, at the right service, at the right moment in your life. Amen? Would you stand up with me this morning? Jesus was able to stay on mission because he knew the why of his mission. He knew it through and through. And again, the foundation of Jesus' mission flowed from his identity in the Father. No other place. It didn't come from his job. It didn't come from his kids. It didn't come from his marriage. It didn't come from any other place except the Father. Jesus, when he came to earth, he came in the form of a servant, as a man. He said, I didn't come into this world to be served, but I came to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. And he demonstrated that with his betrayer in the room, with the guards on the way to come and get him, knowing full well that his disciples were going to abandon him. And one of his closest friends, Peter, even denying that he even knew him. Yet he said, knowing full well that all of the power of heaven and earth had been given to him, he takes that power for a ride by washing his disciples' feet, by loving them in a manner that would change their lives forever. They didn't understand it at the time, but it became the platform for a ministry that would change all of humanity for all time. The reason why Jesus never got off mission is because he knew the why of his mission. And when you know the why of your mission, even though it gets hard, you understand why. Even though you may not understand all of it totally, at least you know the why. You know, identity can be a tricky thing. Lots of things shape how we see ourselves and how we think others see us, right? Identity can be very tricky. It can be confusing. It can be painful. It could be something you don't really want to confront. And maybe some of you here today have the wrong view of your life totally. You're questioning your worth. You're questioning your value. You don't even think about mission. You're just trying to get through today. Maybe your faith is circumstantial, that it goes from one circumstance to the next. But mission goes beyond the circumstances and gives you a bird's eye view of your life and the trajectory of your life. I love flying in planes because it takes you above the roads, the hills, the trees. Remember the first time I flew, I've never felt so small in all of my life. It was at night and you could see the houses and neighborhoods and they're all blinking, you know, the lights, the roads and everything. And the first question I asked myself, I flew from Springfield, Missouri to Memphis, Tennessee to go home for Thanksgiving. And the first question I asked God is, how do you even know that I exist? Knowing what I know, seeing what I can see, how do you even know that I am drawing breath at this moment? And I heard him whisper back to me, Jimmy, I was there when you were made. I formed you. Every little bit of you I have created just for this. And I love you. He knows us through and through. And I pray today that your identity, that when you leave and go through those doors, that you know who you are in Christ and you know what you've been placed here to do. You are on mission. Today, this is what I want us to do. I just felt led of the Holy Spirit to do this. All that can, I want you to make a place around these altars here this morning. And I just want us to re-up, pour out, and allow him to pour into you so that you can go out those doors and do like Paul did when he said, I feel as though my life is being poured out like a drink offering. I can just see it just pouring out everywhere so that everybody can taste and see that the Lord is good. No matter if we're feeling good, no matter if we're feeling good about ourselves, that we've lost that last 5 pounds and we feel good, that our worth is not caught up in circumstances, but it's solely caught up in our identity with the Father. Amen. So this morning, I invite you to come around these altars. If you can't kneel, sit. But I want us to get around these altars. Come on, as I'm praying, and let's get around these altars, and let's truly find ourselves in Him. Let's pour out this morning. Some of us need a fresh touch, a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit today. And I'm just going to lead us in prayer. If you want to kneel, that's fine. If you want to stand, that's fine. If you want to raise your hand, do whatever you got to do. But let's pour ourselves out today. And if it comes to a place where there are no words for how you feel, but let your tears do the talking. Let those groans that words cannot express emanate, resonate before the Father. So let's do that this morning. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And as I'm listening to the Holy Spirit, I'm just going to be calling out specific things. And if that's you, I just want you to grab a hold of that. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to do any of that. Just receive it this morning. And just begin to pour yourself out. Tell God the things that you have been afraid to tell Him for a long time. Some of you may be dealing with some anger that you have been afraid to express to Him. Some of you are living in fear. You're afraid that God is going to demand too much. Some of you have rejected the call of God in your life for a long time. And your spirit's become callous this morning. Pour that out before Him. Pour that out before Him. Father, as we begin to pour ourselves out, Lord, as we begin to call upon you like Jesus did in the garden, that garden of Gethsemane, and he got down on his knees and he felt the weight of what was about to happen to him. And he poured himself out to you. And Lord, I thank you that your words were recorded in the Gospels. I thank you that I know that you called out to the Lord. Father, if it be your will that this cup pass from me, then so be it. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Lord, that tells me you were struggling. You were calling upon your heavenly Father. And you were pouring your last ounce out. And because of that, the Father heard you, and He poured Himself in you. And He gave you the strength. He gave you the courage. He gave you the authority. He gave you the humility. He gave you the strength to pour your last measure of devotion out to all of humanity for all coming time. You allowed your creation, Lord, to mock you, to beat you, to nail you to a cross, knowing that you had all power to summon legions of angels down to rescue you. Yet you lay there and allow them to kill you. You poured your last measure of devotion out to us. And so, Father, today we pour ourselves out knowing that you're going to pour into us, that you're going to cause us to go beyond the understanding that our faith is not just circumstantial, that it's been divinely appointed to us to be about a mission. Circumstances will come, trouble will come, but you said, take heart, for I have overcome the world. And so, Father, from that understanding, from that knowledge, I empty myself out today. All of my fears, all of my questions, all of my worries, all of my hang-ups, everything, I lay it bare to you today. Lord, I lay here empty. Now would you pour into me? Would you fill me up with joy again? Would you saturate me with your love and compassion? Would you put destiny in my spirit again? So that I can answer the why. And that I can be on mission. That I can serve even in the most stressful of times. I can love when I feel like I have no love. I can serve and be a blessing and not feel sorry for myself. I can see the needs of others over my own. That I can pour myself out when I don't feel like it. God, rescue us from how we feel. And Lord, may our identity, our DNA, what makes us, be made as revelation in our spirit today, in order that we can be about mission. And so, Father, today, fill us up through the power of your Holy Spirit. Would you raise your hands? I'm just going to ask for a filling right now. Father, I ask right now that you would fill each and every willing heart by the power of your Holy Spirit. Begin to flood into their spirit, into their minds, into the way they see themselves right now in Jesus' name. Fresh filling from the Holy Spirit right now through the power of His name. God, restore joy, restore peace, restore praise in our lives again. May the joy of the Lord be our strength. In Jesus' name. A fresh anointing, fresh filling in Jesus' name. And then, Lord, out of that filling, may the depth of that filling be the depth of my devotion to the mission. In the name of Jesus. Father, may we never again grapple with our identity. That it is securely set in eternity that I am yours and that you are mine. You are my Father and I am your son. I am your daughter. I am an heir and co-heir with Christ Jesus. That I now sit right beside you, that what is yours is mine. I am not a stepchild. I am not made up with spare parts. I am uniquely and divinely made, crafted for this moment. And I'll act like a child of God from now on. I'll serve like a child of God from now on. I'll love as if I've come straight from you, because your love has now been made for me. So, Father, I'll serve like I'm a son of God. I'll love like I'm a child of God. And I'll give like you gave, Lord Jesus. Because I am yours and you are mine. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. Father, I surrender it all to You. To You, my Lord. I freely give it. I lay down every burden. I lay down every sorrow, every wound, every lie from the enemy, every lie from family, every lie from my co-workers, every lie, I lay it down. And Lord, I choose to put You into my life, that I am Yours and You are mine. I realize today that my identity is found in You, and that the mission and my identity are forever linked. And so, Father, out of the depths of my soul, I pour out to You. Help me, Lord, to stay on mission, all through the power of Your Holy Spirit, and knowing that I am Yours and You are mine. I pray this in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 For some of you today, maybe, I don't know if you're born again or not, if you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, all it takes is you repenting of your sins, receiving Him as your Lord and Savior. And the Bible says that you're made new. You're born again. Your past is behind you. That is enough to celebrate. Amen? And so this morning, as we're going through all of these messages about mission, when we come back here, not this coming Sunday, but on the 7th, this is what I want you to do. Have somebody with you. The last message in this series is, bring somebody with you. How weird would it be if nobody brought somebody with you? And that was the sermon, bring somebody with you. Bring somebody with you. Man, I'm praying right now for two people. Right now I'm praying for two people to have them here on that day. Well, maybe more than that if they bring their families. That's what I'm praying for. And so let's just pray right now. Father, I come before You, and I lift up my two. You lift up Yours. Father, right now, I lift up that person, that family that I want to bring with me. And I ask, Lord, that You would prepare the way for me to invite somebody to come with me. Father, I ask that You would remove all fear and weirdness and conversation, and that it would just, that invitation would just come out naturally. And so, Father, we just thank You for opening up the door, preparing the heart to receive, and a willingness to say, you know what, yeah, sure, I'll come. And so, Father, I ask this all in Your name, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. Guys, just remember, there's nothing God can't do through us once we know who we are in Him. Amen? Amen. Listen, God bless you guys today. If this is your first time here at New Freedom, thank you so much for being here. We've got a guest. We got a gift for you back there. Go see those ladies in the back. Listen, God bless you guys. Thank you so much for being here. You are dismissed. Enjoy one another's company today. Amen? All right. God bless you guys.